This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extmarketing.ca. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
On this episode of the podcast, I thought we'd go outside the city limits of Ottawa and talk to Scott Stern. Scott is based out of Chicago. He has a really interesting background. I first met Scott a couple of years ago at a marketing conference. He's an ex-CIA agent that decided to start his own marketing agency. I think you'll find his story interesting. Thanks for joining us, Scott. I appreciate your time.
No, happy to be here.
For our listeners that, that may not have heard of Central Marketing Agency, can you tell us a little bit more about your company?
Sure. Well, as you know, we're based in Chicago, not Ottawa, but I think it's cold enough here that I think we'll probably get by today. We are an inbound marketing strategy firm, so we're focusing exclusively on providing strategy services along a model that we've developed that's a combination of HubSpot's inbound marketing methodology, which your listeners may have heard of, but also combine it with something they probably haven't, which is the recruitment methodology that the CIA uses to recruit assets and spies and terrorists and criminals. It's called the agent recruitment cycle. So our combination of them, we call it the consumer or the client recruitment cycle. And it follows both paths, but really the two ultimate things that it's designed to do are create a comprehensive strategy that reminds people that we're marketing to human beings, not to search engines. And it also gives a framework of what you should do and where you don't need to spend your money. So my job is to go really deep into that type of strategy, and then I work with referral partners to implement it. But we work a lot with small businesses, all types, from market research firms to food services companies to startups, all over the country and to some extent, hopefully soon, all over across the overseas as well.
So Scott, I mean, you and I met almost a couple of years ago now, so I know your background, but our listeners don't. You mentioned the CIA connection. Can you expand on that a bit?
Sure. Before I got into marketing, I was a analyst and targeting officer in the CIA. I was doing counterterrorism work for about 8 years. I always say targeting isn't what a lot of people think with, bombs and military stuff. It's about strategy. It's who are you trying to reach? It's a lot like marketing strategy. Who are you trying to reach? And how do we use those? How do we use what they care about to persuade them to do X, Y, or Z? But I did that for about 8 years. And then my wife and I had a baby. And so needed to move to something that was a little less intense in some ways, or a little less, didn't require me to show up at 4:30 in the morning on Christmas.
I was going to argue the intensity part, but then I realized, I've never been involved in the CIA, so who am I to say?
Yeah, the intensity of running your own business is high, but things aren't usually exploding. So it's a different level.
Right. So towards the end of your days at the CIA, did you, I'm fascinated by that connection. Was it natural for you to go from, I think I'll try this marketing thing. There's a lot of similarities, or like, how did that kind of play out for you?
Funnily enough, it is it was a really natural transition, because in the last, marketing and branding and why people do what they do and make the decisions they make has obviously always been something I've been interested in. But, in the last, I would say, 6 months to a year of working at the agency, we were facing a lot of challenges. And I was saying to people, we're not the only ones in the world who have to deal with these problems. We're not that special. What other businesses or what other people in the private sector have had to deal with this, and how do they do it? And as I looked, I realized, it's marketing. It's market research. It's One thing I always point on, when you go on Amazon.com or on Google and it says you looked at this, you might also be interested in this. That's a marketing function. And I was always fascinated by how can we use that technology and those concepts to improve how intelligence work is done. And when you actually look at the processes, they're very similar. We both did duct tape marketing, and the process that he uses, the marketing hourglass is very similar to our recruitment methodology, and that's all very similar to HubSpot's inbound methodology. So with that kind of in my mind, when I left and looked around at the private sector and where else uses these same skill sets, these same techniques, these same thought processes, first I thought of advertising, like everybody I think does when they think of marketing, but pretty quickly uncovered this, the much more, I think, data-centric and some of the more advanced techniques that come with online marketing and inbound in particular. And so at that point, it was a really natural change. I mean, marketing and intelligence, it's understanding motivations and how do you use that to get somebody to do what you want them to do. It's an oversimplification in both cases, but that same DNA is there, I think, more than in other fields.
Okay, the way you've explained it makes perfect sense to me. So interesting. So you go from one field to another that is similar yet different. But I find it interesting that you decided to go not only from one field to another, but then just to have your own business in that other industry. Is that something you always aspire to do as well?
Frankly, no. I'm a good government bureaucrat. I came from many thousands of people. I've been around for 50 years with more bureaucracy and procedures than I knew what to do with. So starting my own thing was a total, I don't want to say fluke, but it was not what I was expecting to do. I have to actually thank my wife for kind of browbeating me in some ways into starting my own company. She's the true entrepreneur of the family.
Right.
I kind of was dragged into it kicking and screaming. But now that I've been doing it for almost 2 years, I don't think I could go back.
It's funny you say that. I had somebody ask me the other day, so Pat, what's it like? Because I was in the private sector for years, but never as my own boss at one point in time I was. But anyway, it's been a long time since I worked in the company type of environment. And I said, I can never go back at this point. You get that sense of freedom, and it's really difficult to explain to someone that's not doing it. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, totally. And it's, there's downsides to it too. There's the, I can't walk into my office anymore and say, hey, I saw something on the consumer a report about the Consumer Electronics Show. Can we get that and have a legitimate question responsive? Well, if you can convince us, sure. But at the same time, there's something freeing about being able to pivot on a moment's notice and have your fate in your own hands, so to speak.
Agreed. So, you're in the marketing business now and you've been at it a relatively short time, but still long enough, to see some significant changes. Mm-hmm. Are there one or two or maybe even three that you can point to that you've seen in the last 2 years?
I think the biggest, there's several, and part of the problem with online marketing in particular is that it is changing so fast that you can go 6 months and see huge changes. I think one of our mutual friends in the SEO business told me, in 2015, I think it was, Google changed its own algorithm 300 or 500, something ridiculous number of times. I think the big change that I'm seeing is there's kind of two. One, I think your listeners may see also, the other one is kind of a little inside baseball. That one is that, for a few years, marketing agencies were wanting to do everything. Everybody was wanting to be a full inbound services agency or digital marketing and do the full thing. And now what I'm seeing you know, among myself, so this is my own process, but also among my, a lot of the peers and a lot of agents I've talked to, is going back to, you know, doing your specialty, focusing on your core, what makes each, what everybody does best, and using kind of a distributed network model, or a virtual agency sort of thing, if you will, to provide the services to the client. I see that accelerating and happening more and more in a whole number of industries. I just talked to somebody today who does that in the software and app engineering and development field. They use a distributed team. And that's something that I think is, you end up getting higher quality work at a much, much lower price for the client.
Well, and I think it also, and you know, I got to be careful here because, you know, the whole extension marketing model is based on that. Yeah. So I'm obviously biased, but I like to think I'm biased with good reason. And to me, there's many good reasons, not the least of which is, you know what, if it's not working out, you can, you know, you can fire the company. It's a lot easier to get rid of, you know, people, that, companies like yours and mine, than it is to get rid of a staff member.
Yeah.
And, you know, without all the overhead and everything that goes along with that. So, yeah, no, I mean, you're seeing it more and more. I mean, I think this whole thing kind of started with a virtual, you know, kind of financial person or someone mm-hmm. like your books. I mean, that was, you think about it, that's been around a long time. And then it kind of, it morphed into, you know, in the IT world, you didn't really need a full-time IT guy, but you still needed IT work done. And mm-hmm. I think you know, marketing now is kind of the next up and coming thing. So that's changes you've seen since you started. Can you forecast out 3 to 5 years? Anything that jumps out at you, Scott?
I mean, the biggest thing I see, and I've said this in other forums, is I think there's a change happening from the concept of digital marketing being this other thing, this subset of marketing, to it not really being marketing if it's not digital at its soul. You know, this idea that, you know, you hire a advertising agency had a digital person, or a company could have a digital marketing that was separate from their marketing organization. I don't think that that's going to make sense anymore. Just from a, you know, from a, where most of the energy is going, where all the analytics going. I mean, I think for the first time you're seeing digital ad spend, just in the ad industry, digital ad spend outpacing traditional. The majority of leads are now coming from online. So I think that's just going to accelerate. And I think we're going to stop seeing this term digital marketing really having any relevance anymore. And there's a whole host of things I think that go, you know, subsets of changes that will go on in the industry. You know, SEO, I personally, and your SEO, people who like SEO might hate me for this, but I think SEO as its own thing is similarly not, is going away. I mean, content marketing and inbound marketing is replacing that. So I think a lot of these, you know, these digital only things or things that we're seeing as very technical are just going to become more mainstream and broadly accepted and acknowledged.
I had somebody ask me the other day, you know, on this subject, and they said, do I ever see a point in time when traditional marketing or advertising goes away? And my answer was no, I don't think so. It's always going to be changing and evolving. And you know, there may be a point in time when digital is kind of the old way of,
sure.
We really don't know where it's heading. So do you, the Central Marketing Agency, do you also, you know, work on traditional campaigns with people in conjunction with the digital component?
I mean, you know, and I want to be a little careful. I don't want to say that I think traditional is ever going to go away. I mean, there's a place for it. And as long as it's showing value, it should stay. I just think the relative balance of the two are shifting. We do a little bit of offline stuff, but only in the sense that it would support an inbound campaign, you know, a strategy where we're trying to attract people to us rather than, you know, what I think in inbound circles is somewhat pejoratively called interruptive marketing techniques. So, you know, we'll help with like sales letters, and I've done some of that, and looked into some traditional like print advertising, but, you know, like our core strength is the is digital. Now, at the same time, you know, a lot of the stuff that we'll do, like buyer personas, is equally effective online and offline. It's a concept of, you know, really understanding your buyer as a human, as a fully rounded human, and not the channel that they're being marketed to. You know, you can apply that to a print or, you know, sales letter or TV ad just as easily as you can apply it to a blog post or a webinar.
I agree. I think where digital really, really has a significant impact is in the small business community. And so, two-part question for you. A, do you agree with that? And then if the answer is yes, you do agree with that, what advice would you give to a small business that may not have a large budget but wants to get into the digital world?
Sure. I think that's absolutely right. HubSpot just came out with a stat, I think a month ago, maybe 2 months ago at this point, showing that for smaller companies, and I believe it was companies with annual revenue of less than $250,000, they were far and away getting more return and more likely to be using digital techniques. And that as you got to the larger companies, 10 million and up, you were seeing they had the budget and I think it's somewhat of the slowness of turning a larger ship. They were tending to use those more traditional techniques. So definitely agree on the small business piece. The one piece of advice I would give to a small business person is to not get focused on, is to not get overly focused on the tactics without some sense of why you're doing it and how it all fits together. It's really easy to say, oh, I need a social media person. I need to get on social, I need to be on Twitter and LinkedIn or Facebook because that's where all the action is. Or I really need to get a blog going. Or, you know, I really need to send out email. And those are all great, but they're all tactics. And if they're not a part of a cohesive, purposeful plan driving towards a specific end, you can really quickly end up spending a ton of money for not great results. I mentioned my wife earlier, and I think about this a lot because she was a small business owner, a solopreneur. When we lived in Washington, D.C., she ran a photography studio. And 8 years ago now, you know, she paid a bunch of money for a really nice looking website. Looked great, was really slick. And we found that it did not convert. It was not producing any more sales than somebody who had, you know, had a simple WordPress or really basic site. And so we changed it, and she's on a Squarespace site now, and it works great. And that really drives home the point that, you know, it's really easy to get carried away with the tactic and spending a lot of money on one specific thing. But when it's not part of a plan, you can never quite be sure that you're spending the money in the right way. I see that all too often. But now, I'm a strategist, so I'm biased.
No, but you know, so am I. And as you know, I'm sure I drive my clients crazy. I always say to them, hey, strategy before tactics.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I got a call from this, you know, from this person. They want to sell me this. And that's tactical. And I say, okay, does it fit into our strategy? Yeah, you know, yeah, yes, it does or no, it doesn't. But you need it. It's really is like trying to build a house without a proper foundation. It's just not going to work.
And there's always going to be a new cool thing that's out there that's, you know, supposed to, that somebody says, oh, I made $1 million in 3 days sell on this with this, you know, new app or whatever. And, you know, statistically, probably that's true, but somebody is going to do it. But, you know, that may be gone tomorrow. So, I think it's even more important online because there's just so many things. And the only way to know what's good and what isn't is to have a plan in mind. And see whether it fits in, like you said.
Couldn't agree more. Scott, I just want to change gears here for a second.
Yeah.
Kind of get back onto the sort of entrepreneurial side of things. So, you know, you're relatively new at this, but mm-hmm. but not that new that, you know, I'm sure you've learned a lot in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, as entrepreneurs, we have to wear many hats and we're being pulled in a million different directions. Do you have any sort of techniques or advice you'd give to our listeners on how to prioritize their day?
You know, I think the obvious one that everybody that I read everywhere and everybody says is, you know, not get sucked into the email, but time management, we were talking a little about before the show, but time management is just so important and so difficult. And especially when you, you're the only person and you're responsible for everything, it's so easy to just feel like you need to respond to a client or respond to this email or respond to that email at the drop of a hat. In reality, you're doing yourself and your clients a disservice when you do that because you're not fully present for them. So I've tried and spent a lot of brain power trying to, learn time management skills and organizational systems. And even when there's been tools that I've needed to help manage that, I've spent a lot of time because time management is not, multitasking, to be honest, is not my, does not come natural to me.
Yeah, and there's a lot of schools of thought about multitasking, and more studies are showing that it doesn't, in fact, work. I think it depends what the multitasks are. If you're trying to write a proposal for a client or, do some heavy thinking around writing, I think it's impossible to multitask. Yet if you're running on a treadmill and listening to a podcast or reading a book, I think that's relatively easy to do. So
interesting.
I still find the old-fashioned, list. It still works, whether it's a paper list or a digital list. It's just knowing exactly what your expectations are when you get in the morning. That's kind of, it seems to work anyway.
Yeah, I know. I've been recently introduced to the getting things done methodology and house, there's certain tools out there, like Todoist, Evernote, that I use to do it. And it's the same thing. You got to have a intentional, purposeful list rather than just keeping everything in your head all day and make decisions about priorities.
So along the same lines, Scott, so do you have a morning routine that you try to follow or does it change day to day for you?
I try to follow a routine. Whether I succeed is a daily question.
Right.
And, I haven't, I wouldn't say I've hit a groove yet. I do admit to checking my email the first thing when I get in, but I'm kind of addicted to it. I probably check it the first thing when I wake up, frankly. But I try to check that, and I try to make sure I'm trying to make sure that I'm making that intentional list every morning of what needs to get done during the day, and giving some thought to. Do I really need to, how much do I really need to change this little page on my website? Or is it good enough to, go? Or does it really need to be, how much better is it going to get if it's perfect?
Right.
And my routine's that plus at least one cup of coffee because I have a 2.5-year-old. So whether I've slept much that night right. before is an open question.
the great equalizer.
Yes.
Is there any advice you'd give to our listeners that are thinking of starting their own business, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think to the best advice I could give on that is frankly think long and hard before you jump into it. And that's not to say in like a negative way, like don't do it, but it's to really decide if all that comes with it, if the pluses, if the pros outweigh the con, if it's really something you want to do. Personally, I don't think I don't think it's necessarily what some people like, I don't like saying some people are cut out for it and some people aren't, because that implies that people who don't do it, there's something negative about it. And it's just, to me, it's, do you want to wear a blue shirt or a red shirt? Some people like blue, some people like red. It's just, they're different lifestyles, different choices you have to make. But be intentional about choosing it rather than having to make the decision. Basically, don't do what I did, which is getting dragged into it and then realizing that you liked it. I think it's much better if you go in with a plan.
Right. So you mentioned the book, Getting Things Done, and that methodology. Yeah. Has there been any other books, Scott, that have had an influence on how you run your business?
Yes, but I don't think they are the normal business books. I mean, I read a lot of blogs, more than I would say more than books. So, there's a lot of blogs that I follow regularly. HubSpot, Buffer has a great blog about social media. Andy Crestadina over at Orbit Media Group has a great blog on Google Analytics and web design. So I follow all those, but I think if I had to pick a book, it would go back to my days as an intelligence analyst. It's a book that you can download for free if anybody's interested out there. It's really interesting. It's called The Psychology of Intelligence Analysis by Richard Hoyer. And it talks all about kind of biases and how to kind of logically and how to challenge your assumptions and be objective about when you're arriving at assessments, and really kind of what the whole theory of intelligence analysis is about. And I think about that book daily, and I think I use tactics or techniques or philosophies from it, all the time.
So it's a real light read then?
Oh yeah, real light read. You'll read some things in it that are very strange, but it's actually a really short book. I don't think it's that long. We're giving it in training. But it teaches a lot about thought processes and how to recognize your own biases in your thinking. Which when you're doing strategy and you're selling to a market, the target market that is not you, is really, really important.
Okay, Scott, we're gonna wrap up here. Anything you'd like to add? Maybe a last bit of advice for those entrepreneurs out there that are listening.
Yeah, I think I kind of talked about making an intentional plan before you pick tactics, but also remember kind of what the outcome of it all is supposed to be, and think about not just how it all fits in, but really remember how it's going to play with the person viewing it. That they're a person beyond all the, you can go all day in Google Analytics, you can go all day into keyword research, and that's really, really important. But so much of marketing, so much of everything can come down to, an intuitive sense of, does this make sense? Marketing, as much as we like to say sometimes that it's a science and all the data sometimes makes it seem like that, it's not precise. And chance and luck do, frankly, I think have a lot to do with it. So, if data is telling you, and you know your clients, be honest with yourself and really think about whether the data is right. But remember that the people they're people at the end of the day. They don't always respond to algorithms.
Great advice. Scott, where can listeners find out more about Central Marketing Agency?
Well, you can come to our website. It's centralmarketing.agency. We're also on Twitter at CM Agency and LinkedIn and Facebook, just Central Marketing Agency, Google Plus also.
Great. Thanks very much, Scott, for doing this. Really appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Pat. Have a good one.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extmarketing.ca and download the free ebook, 7 Steps to Marketing Success.